Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Eugene Meltzner here, inviting you to join today's assemblage of characters and myself for an extended period of discovery, imagination, and exhilaration. Excitement, that is. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
I snuck into the backyard, climbed up the drainpipe.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have to look at a breakfast menu pretty soon.
The sooner the better. My wife is serving pot roast.
How difficult is it to torch through a safe?
What are you, Mr. Goodwrench?
Thank you. I have no more questions.
What time is it?
3:30.
Meaning we've sat there for 7 hours today.
Well, at least it's over. I gotta get home. It's pot roast night.
Ah, do you smell that, Mr. Walton? The smell of juries past coming into this very room to participate in the American judicial system.
I think you're confusing justice with floor wax.
Mr. Walton, don't you feel honored to be chosen to do this?
Eugene, I wasn't chosen. I was forced by a little slip of paper that arrived in my mail from the Campbell County Court, whatever it was, and it told me to go to Connellsville, and I did. Don't get all poetic about it.
Okay, is everybody in?
Looks like it.
All right, you can go ahead and start. If anybody needs anything, more water, transcriptions from the trial, whatever, just knock on this door. If this looks to go on pretty long, we'll send in a menu around 5 and order you dinner.
Don't worry about that. I think we'll be out of here by then.
I sure hope so.
Suits me. The sooner the better. My wife is serving pot roast tonight. See ya.
Well, I guess we should get started.
I don't think that'll be necessary. Let's just take the vote and leave.
Pardon me? I believe we cannot do anything until we elect a foreman for this jury. I nominate Bernard Walton.
What?
All in favor say aye.
Now, just
aye.
Congratulations, Mr. Walton.
Yeah, thanks, Eugene. You're a peach. All right, let's start.
I think we should vote.
Well, how can we possibly vote when we haven't discussed the basic elements of the trial?
What for? It's an open and shut case. The kid is guilty, period.
Mr. Walton, I suggest that we review the facts of the case before taking a vote. That way we can be absolutely certain about what we're voting.
Yeah, fine. A few minutes review won't hurt. Okay, we have this kid named Donald Wilson.
Age 18, to be precise.
And he's been charged with breaking and entering and burglary. He has confessed to the breaking and entering, but pleads not guilty to the burglary.
Yeah, but we all know he's guilty, so let's vote.
Please, we must review all the facts. Go on, Mr. Walton.
Look, Eugene, you're so keen about this. Why don't you do it?
Oh, indeed I will. On March 30th, Mr. and Mrs. Carver Littleton...
Of the famed Littleton's restaurant chain.
...returned from a weekend vacation to find that their house had been burgled. Several thousand dollars in cash and various pieces of jewelry were stolen from their bedroom safe. The safe had a hole burnt into it, presumably by a torch.
It was an acetylene torch.
Thank you, Mr. Finn. Now, according to police, the burglar entered the house through a skylight in the roof above the master bathroom. The glass had been cut somehow.
With precision glass cutters, they said.
What are you, Mr. Goodwrench?
My family owns a hardware and home security business.
During a surprise locker check at the high school, a diamond bracelet was found in Donald Wilson's locker. It was identified as the stolen property of Mrs. Littleton.
There we go. Case closed.
Well, is that it, Eugene?
Not quite.
For crying out loud, we'll be here till Tuesday. When the police nabbed Donald about the bracelet, he said he didn't know how it got in his locker.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that he didn't know anything about the Littleton break-in. But later, police matched his fingerprints with those found on the skylight of the house. The kid predictably then confessed to the break-in.
Yeah.
There it is. What's left to be said?
We must remember that Donald maintained his innocence of stealing the bracelet, thus his not guilty plea. These are the basic facts of the case.
Yeah. Great. Let's vote.
Yeah. All right. Everyone who thinks he's not guilty, raise your hand.
Excuse me. I would prefer a secret ballot.
Oh, please.
Come on, Eugene.
It simply reduces the risk of peer pressure becoming a factor in our very important decision-making.
Okay. I guess that's what these little slips of paper are for. Just write down your verdict and hand it to me. Okay, let's see here. Everybody's ballot is in, and we have 11 votes of guilty and one vote of... It says, I am undecided at this... I can't read the scrawl. Undecided at this...
Juncture.
Juncture, but my inclinations are that the defendant is not guilty.
Oh, great.
I wonder who wrote that one.
You think he's innocent?
How can you think that?
Looks like we're going to be here longer than we thought.
This is precisely why I wanted to deliberate more. I am not yet convinced of his guilt.
What do you want, videotape?
I'd just like to review the case.
Well, there goes my pot roast.
Bernard, you're the foreman. Talk to him.
Oh, brother. Not that I would ever wish this on anyone, but... Now, we have to listen to Eugene. He's right. All 12 of us have to agree. That's the law.
Fine. I'll be asleep if you need me.
Very well. Now, let's go over Donald's testimony.
Donald, you have confessed to breaking into the Littleton house on the night of March 30th. Could you please tell the court why you broke into the house?
It was part of my initiation into the Mustangs.
And the Mustangs are?
A gang.
Tell us about the initiation.
To join the gang, they said I had to break into the Littleton house. That was it.
Obviously, that wasn't it. You had specific instructions.
Yeah. They said to break in, grab something that could prove I was there, and then go out the front door. But they didn't say nothing about a safe.
Tell us how you got into the house.
I snuck into the backyard, climbed up the drain pipe onto the roof, and cut open their skylight with a glass cutter.
Which would explain the fingerprints.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. I had gloves on, but I couldn't get a good grip on the glass cutter, so I took them off.
Why did you enter through the skylight? Why not another window or door?
They've got an alarm system on all the doors and windows.
How did you know that?
Joey Littleton...
Who is?
Their son. He used to be a friend of mine. I've been to the house, I saw the alarm box, and I watched him do the code.
So you climbed through the skylight and...
I kind of fell, actually. It was a longer drop than I thought. Fell into the bathtub. It was one of those big ones, too, you know, like they
then
have it...
Then what, Donald?
Well, I did what I was supposed to do. I went through the house, found a business card, turned off the burglar alarm, and went out the front door. That was the deal, and that was all I did.
Donald, a month after the break-in, the Littleton's diamond bracelet was found in your school locker. How do you explain that?
I figure the guys in the gang swiped it from the safe and put it there. They had my combination. It was easy enough.
Why would they do that to you?
To frame me because I quit the gang. They probably figured that after I quit, I'd tell the cops everything, so they turned the tables on me.
Well, that's a convenient explanation. Do you have any proof that they framed you?
No.
Donald, I have a serious problem believing you.
Well, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Was it also the truth when you told police that you didn't break into the Littleton house?
No, it wasn't. I just said it because I didn't want to get in trouble.
I see. You lied to get out of trouble. So you might lie to us now to keep from getting in trouble, right?
Maybe. But I'm not lying now.
Why should we believe you?
Because it's the truth.
No further questions.
Yeah, right. I believe him, don't you? The kid lied before. He's lying now.
I agree that his credibility is in question. However, we
credibility? What credibility? He's a worthless kid who could use a lesson in personal responsibility.
Yeah. He didn't sound one bit sorry for breaking into the house. And did you see that tattoo on his wrist? Hey, anybody that would mark up their own body certainly has no respect for other people's property.
Hey, I have a tattoo.
Where?
Here's my question. Why wouldn't the gang try to frame Donald by placing the bracelet in his locker? Particularly if they had used him to gain entrance to the Littleton house to begin with.
That's assuming an awful lot.
No, I'm only assuming that he's innocent until proven guilty. Are we not to consider all possibilities before rendering a verdict?
No, we're supposed to consider the facts. The facts are that there was a break-in, a robbery, and the kid got caught with the goods. He's guilty.
But he didn't get caught with all of the proverbial goods. Where's the money?
He stashed it until he could spend it. Or use part of it to pay you off.
What?
Victor.
I resent the accusation.
Why are you on his side, then?
Because it's perfectly plausible that the other gang members found out about the surprise inspection at the high school and put the bracelet in Donald's locker to frame him. To borrow the colloquialism.
That's ridiculous.
But it's still plausible. The gang certainly had the means and the opportunity to put the bracelet there. They had his combination.
Well, okay, then. We can nail the kid on charges of burglary and ignorance.
All right, now, he's definitely no rocket scientist, but that raises another question. Would he be foolish enough to put a diamond bracelet in the school locker himself?
The gang, too. Why would they give up an expensive bracelet just to frame this kid, huh?
Exactly.
Putting myself in the place of the gang, I suspect it would be better to lose the bracelet to cover their crime than to be caught and give up all that money.
But you're not in the place of the gang. You're in the jury.
Unfortunately.
We can't know everything that happened. Why can't we just go with what obviously happened?
Because what happened isn't so obvious, which is why I remain in the proverbial shadow of a reasonable doubt. There are just too many unanswered questions.
We can't answer them all, Eugene.
But we must be able to answer enough to render a verdict.
Meaning?
Meaning that I plan to reinvestigate every word of this case until I come to a firm conclusion.
There is nothing worse than cold pot roast. Nothing. The gravy gets all rubbery and...
Could you please pass those transcripts to this end of the table?
That's it. Take a break.
Missing from the transcript. Is anybody... never mind.
Hey, anybody want some of my cashews? I'm allergic.
Why'd you get cashew chicken, then?
Because I like it.
So why not just get chicken?
Because the cashews give it a nice flavor.
But you're allergic to cashews, so... Oh, never mind.
Cut it out, will you? I have a headache.
Well, pardon me, but if Tattoo Tommy over here feels he has to criticize menu choices...
My name's Larry.
Tattoo Larry, then.
What page are you on there, Eugene?
46.
That's progress. You were on 42 a half hour ago. Listen, Bernard?
No, yeah.
You know Eugene, don't you?
Eugene.
Yeah, I've seen him around. Yeah.
Well, what's it going to take to get him to change his mind?
Surgery. Eugene, how long are you going to keep this up? We're going to have to look at a breakfast menu pretty soon.
Well, there's quite a lot of evidence to consider.
Hold on. Forget the evidence for a minute, okay? Listen to me. The kid broke into the house. He admits that. If we let the kid go, he'll get a slap on the wrist for breaking and entering. Now, do you want that?
Well, certainly not.
Aren't you tired of these gangs running around getting away with this kind of stuff? Why don't we convict this kid and show the rest of them that they can't do it? Come on, let's send a message.
And if he's innocent?
That's the price he pays for hanging around with criminals.
What?
And if we let criminals roam around free, then pretty soon this whole town will be scared to walk the streets alone.
Is that
what you want for our town?
I'm sorry, Victor, but what I want is irrelevant to what we've been called here to do. Discern the truth and render a fair verdict. Yes, I'd like to send a message, but the message I want to send is... Our system of justice works.
Oh, boy. What a guy, huh? What a patriot. Truth, justice, and the American way. Yes, we all admire you, Eugene Superman.
Meltzner.
You're nothing but an arrogant little do-gooder who wants
to... Now, hold it. Wait a minute. I won't have any name-calling in here, you bonehead. Now, listen. Settle down. We're all tired, and we need to relax. Eugene, can I talk to you in private?
Of course. Yes, Mr. Walton?
Yeah. Are you any closer to making a decision, or should I call the riot police?
I'm trying, Mr. Walton.
You sure are. What's it gonna take, huh? Do you really think he's innocent?
I honestly don't know, and that's why I must continue to study the evidence.
Eugene, listen. We've got to get back to what we know and come up with a verdict.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Walton. I would now like to discuss Mrs. Littleton's testimony, if you please.
Okay, great. This is good. The lady said that the alarm was turned off at 8:13 the night before. Go back to the testimony of the clerk at the convenience store. Now, what time did he say he saw Donald?
Wasn't it 5:30?
Right here, yes. 5:30 p.m.
And we have testimony from his family and a neighbor that he got in that night at what time?
9 p.m.
So, there's a 3.5 hour time gap where nobody knows where he was. Plenty of time to get in the house, burn through the safe, steal the goods, turn off the alarm, get out, and go home.
Yes, I agree that a professional could have accomplished so much in that allotment of time. But this is a teenage boy with no prior record of burglary. Let's consider the testimony of the locksmith.
Mr. Sanders, how much experience do you have in the locksmith business?
14 years.
So as an experienced locksmith, I would assume you know many of the techniques of burglars, so you can discover ways to foil them, correct?
Yeah, something like that.
And Mr. Sanders, how difficult is it to torch through a safe?
Depends on what kind of safe it is, you know, what it's made of, the thickness of the doors and sides, but it'd be pretty difficult in any case.
Could an amateur perform this task?
Probably not.
Mr. Sanders, there was water on the carpet of the closet where the safe was located. Can you explain that?
When you torch a safe, you have to keep the area cool so you don't burn up the money inside. Whoever did this job probably sprayed water into the hole every couple of minutes.
So would you assume that the people who did this job were professionals?
Oh, yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Thank you. No more questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Sanders, if someone was good, a professional, let's say, how long would it take him to torch through a house safe?
15 minutes for some, an hour, maybe 3 hours for others. Depends on the safe.
But 3 would be about the limit?
Well, the Littletons own a safe made by the Donovan Company, which I don't sell because they're so inferior.
Mr. Sanders.
I'd say 3 would be the limit.
Thank you. I have no more questions.
Now, how would a boy this age get to be a professional burglar? How would he learn such a thing?
Who knows where these gangs learn how to be criminals? He knew enough to get inside the house, didn't he?
That's a good point. I mean, where did he learn to use a glass cutter?
Well, let me get this straight. Mrs. Littleton said that the floor was covered with water.
Wait a minute. Back up a bit. Where do you get that Mrs. Littleton said the floor was covered with water?
Well, she said it.
Yeah, she said it. I remember.
Here in the transcripts, Mrs. Littleton said the floor was covered with water.
That doesn't make sense. You only spray a little bit of water into the hole when you're trying to cool it down. To actually cover the floor with water, you'd have to be torching for a really long time.
Or being incompetent.
What kind of safe was it?
Should be a picture in the evidence pile over there.
Here it is.
Hang on.
What?
Read the transcripts when the prosecutor asked Sanders how long it would take to burn through a safe.
Yes, sir. Prosecuting attorney asked Mr. Sanders how long it would take a professional to torch through a house safe. Mr. Sanders said, it depends on the safe. 15 minutes for some, an hour, maybe 3 for others.
And he said 3 hours for the Littleton safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sanders wouldn't know a good safe with both hands and a flashlight. He's been competing with my family for years.
Oh, so you're Mr. Expert now.
I told you, I know this stuff. Look at this picture. It's a Donovan safe, all right, but it isn't a house safe at all.
What?
It's one of those safes used by department stores and restaurants.
Restaurants?
These things are expensive. I've never seen anybody put one of these in their homes.
Except perhaps the owner of the famed Littleton restaurant chain.
Right. The point is, it's a whole lot harder to break into one of these than a regular house safe. They're thicker. There isn't a chance in the world a kid could have torched through it in a few minutes or even 3 hours.
Well, how long would it take?
6 to 8 hours at least. Plus, the kid would have had to lug a bunch of huge gas tanks into the house. He couldn't have done it alone.
Are you sure?
Positive. Just call the Donovan Safe Company or my father. But I'm telling you, it's true. Somebody messed up here.
Then that's it. If it takes 6 to 8 hours to break into the safe, then Donald couldn't have done it. He was seen at the convenience store at 5:30, and he was home by 9.
Hey, that's only 3.5 hours.
Amazing. Then he didn't do it.
The tattoo boy didn't do it after all.
Now hold it, hold it. You, Sherlock Holmes, are forgetting all the other evidence.
What other evidence?
I guess I'm changing my vote.
Me too.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to change my vote too. Who else?
Now hold it. Well, I don't get it.
What is there not to get, Mr. Laslick?
The kid's guilty.
Victor, we now have 11 votes not guilty and 1 vote guilty. Floor is yours. Make your case.
Okay. All right. Let me think. I got it. It's the most obvious thing in the world. The gang sent him to break into the house and open the door so they could burn into the safe.
And then they let him go home?
Yes.
They didn't have him stay to be a lookout? Didn't have him help lug in the gas tanks? They just let him go home? He did his part of the job and that was it?
He was an accessory.
We're back to guessing. And I still have a reasonable doubt now.
And the law says if you have a reasonable doubt about the defendant's guilt, then your verdict has to be not guilty.
I don't understand. Don't you people really want to get this kid? Don't you have any sense of community standards, of real justice?
I understand your feelings, but...
You don't understand anything. Huh? You're all so smug, wallowing in your victory. You don't even care that you're letting a kid go without the punishment he deserves. Well, I know from personal experience that what this kid needs is punishment.
Personal experience?
Yes. I used to coach a city soccer team. He was one of my players. He never wanted to be there, never practiced, back-talked when I told him to do something. He was such a loser. And then the other kid's things started disappearing. I knew it was him. He was swiping the stuff. But could I do anything about it? No. Don't you see? Kids like him need straightening out. They need discipline, a firm hand. We've got a chance to give him that, and you're messing it up. How else are kids like him going to learn?
Victor, when we were selected for this jury, we were asked if we had any prior interaction with the defendant. You said no.
Well, I forgot.
Larry, knock for the bailiff, will you?
What are you doing?
Previous experience with a defendant can prejudice us against the truth of a case. We're supposed to be fair and impartial. We have to put aside our prejudices and deal with the truth. In essence, that's what we're here to do. Not to punish an innocent young man simply because we think he needs it. We're here to figure out the truth and render a verdict. Now, perhaps Donald does need to be disciplined, and I agree that this could be a great lesson for him, but we are not the ones to do it. Not this way. Not at the expense of the truth.
Oh, you're so high and mighty about the truth.
It might have helped if you were, Victor.
You need something?
Yeah, we seem to have a mistrial here.
What?
One of us just disqualified this jury from rendering a verdict. You better tell the judge.
Okay, but he won't be too happy about it.
Yeah, none of us are either. Ah, fresh air. Almost forgot what it was.
Indeed.
Well, Eugene, you satisfied?
Satisfied? Not entirely. Donald will probably have to be tried all over again.
Well, yeah, but now he's got a better chance of getting a fair trial. All your notes were passed on to the prosecution. I get the impression they're going to reinvestigate the case. Maybe they'll catch the ones who really did it.
Perhaps they will.
Yeah. I've been putting off saying it because... Well, because it makes my scalp itch, but I was proud of you, Eugene. What you did in there was awfully... what I'm trying to say is, hey, you did all right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Walton.
Yeah, there, I said it. Now, you hungry?
Actually, yes.
You like pot roast?
Marginally.
Well, even though this means sacrificing some of mine, why don't you come on over and have a bite? Sometimes it's better with a second warm-up.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
And, Eugene, the next time you nominate me as the foreman of anything, our friendship is over.
Understood.
The 59th chapter of Isaiah presents the nation of Israel confessing its sins before God. What did the writer say? Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and it was displeasing in God's sight that there was no justice. Throughout the Bible, God repeatedly says how truth and justice work hand in hand to strengthen us as individuals, as communities, and even as entire nations. But there can be no justice if people don't stand up for the truth. Eugene demonstrated in the jury room how important it was to stay firm for truth so that justice might be served. And I think it's something we should do, too, whether it's at home, at school, or wherever you may be. We must stand firm for what's true, even if it means great risk to us. For God says in Micah 6:8 what He wants of us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. That's something we should all work towards. Well, that's it for now. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Blind Justice was written by Marshall Younger and directed by Paul McCusker. Our production engineer was Todd Bastide, and our executive producer was Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.